Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
From the newsroom to the nursery, we're juggling a demanding career on live TV with the demands of motherhood. I'm Katie.
And I'm Karen.
They are Anchor Moms.
Welcome into another episode of Anchor Moms, your favorite mom, working mom.
Duo. I didn't know where you were going.
Podcast.
Oh, podcast. Okay.
Katie, it always amazes me that I feel like the holidays have literally just happened and then people are already, what summer camps are you signing up for? I mean, I'm not kidding you. Some friends were like, Happy New Year, but have you thought about summer camps yet?
These are Asheville people?
Or? Yes, oh, yes. Okay. But I think it's something that I've seen other moms, even outside of Asheville, posting about it. It is unbelievable that it's this fast that it happens, January 1st. I mean, some of them I know here in Asheville opened on January 1st and were
full
in hours.
Yeah.
And Gregory was like, wait, do we need to get on that? And I was like, I can't, like, I just don't have the bandwidth right now to do it. You know, I'll get there someday. But if our kids miss those camps, so be it. I just, who knows what we're doing in 7 months? It just feels so early to be planning. And then we have this big discussion for our family in particular. Okay. I mean, it's, you know, I don't know for listeners how much it costs where you live, but here it's, I would say on average, $400 a week.
Yeah.
Would you say for like a normal all day camp?
I think so. And it depends on which ones you're doing, Karen. I told you, we were like, you know, before we hit record, I was like, oh yeah, I've already looked into just when I've narrowed it down and I've already looked into
when they open.
Mm-hmm. Now,
not all of them open on January 1st.
Correct.
But some do.
I saw it. I saw it on like the Asheville mom's Facebook post.
Yeah.
And I was, isn't it kind of funny as like a mom, like you just get through.
You just got
the
through.
The stress of the holidays. I hadn't even gone back to work yet and started seeing, like I hadn't even returned to work from the holidays and I started seeing posts about this because it's like, what's the next thing we have to worry about?
Oh, you got through Christmas and made your Christmas perfect and magical for your children. Now plan their summers.
Yeah. So I will say this. We, Brian and I work full time. And so our wonderful nanny is there in the summer. And last year, in the past couple of years, I mean, River's only, she'll be six this summer. The last two summers, like we have signed her up for a couple of half-day camps, like, here and there, but also we're paying our nanny. And I just said this, Brian and I both agreed, like, River's going to do a couple of camps this year, but I don't want to have to pay. It's hard to pay for childcare and then camps because, obviously, River's an only child. Like, you want her to have, like, some social interactions.
Right.
But this year I'm kind of like, I just – and then I worry about transportation because, like, nanny is trying to drop her off at one place and then I'm, like, trying to rush home from work to, like, pick her up in another place. It's just too much.
Yeah.
So that being said, I have like, there's like five or six like week camps that I'm going to like try to sign her up for. And I'm already like,
That seems like a lot. Five?
Yeah, but not just like just week camps, right? Like I'm not going to I'm going to sign her up for like, you know, maybe like two, and she gets out of school early, two in June, maybe like, and you're right, probably not six, maybe like four.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just so she can do like maybe 2 weeks in June, 2 weeks in July, and maybe two in August, that kind of thing. You know? Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And it's interesting, you kind of made this point too, but we're like doing the math game, you know, $400 a week times three kids, that's $1,200 a week. What would we pay the nanny? And our situation is too, we have Sam, who's too young to go to any of these camps. I mean, River and Bennett just like last year, this year are mm-hmm. able, because some of them, I remember last year, were you had to be a rising kindergartner, mm-hmm. so Bennett couldn't go. So then it's like, well, if you're already going to have the nanny for the baby, then may as well. Anyway, so we've decided, yeah, we're going to try to get a nanny for the summer, and then we'll let them do, yeah, one or two of the things they're interested mm-hmm. in. But, I mean, we have friends who literally do a camp a week, and I just don't understand how you even pay for it.
Well, because I think they have no choice. Like, that's right. the problem, they, is if right. your yeah. parents both work full-time, yeah. you – and it's hard. Finding childcare, by mm-hmm. the way, ain't easy. Like, right. dependable childcare. Because, mm-hmm. like, usually that's somebody who, like, comes into your house, right? Like, right. you're not – there's no, like – well, I don't know. Maybe there is. But as far as I know, like, you're not dropping them off for, like, a day, like, a summer daycare-specific right. thing. It's, like, it's hard to find somebody, like, reliable who's mm-hmm. going to come, like, June through August.
Yeah, I mean, so, I may be foolishly thinking we'll be able to find – I'm hoping to get, like, a college kid mm-hmm. who's home for the summer mm-hmm. and maybe in our neighborhood or something who could just be good. But, yeah, I mean, you're right, as I'm saying this – when we make the decision to go nanny, we're making the decision to rely on somebody who I don't even know who said person is yet.
Well, you're not alone though, right? Like right, you're not alone.
But I mean, when you do the math for multiple children for that, I mean, I'm just floored at how expensive these camps are.
What did your parents do when you were a kid?
My mom wasn't working.
Oh, okay. Because yeah. I you know, my mom.
What did you do?
Worked full time, and we had yeah. a babysitter.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We had a babysitter who would come, and a couple of them. Like I had a niece, or not a niece, my mom's niece, a cousin, mm-hmm. like an older cousin right, who right. would come, and like do like Monday and Friday, and mm-hmm. then like a neighbor who would come like Tuesday and Thursday. Like mm-hmm. it was just, yeah, I think, yeah. and you know, but we were in, and we had like, yeah, I mean, my mom worked it out, but. And, you know, it's funny when you're a kid, you have like no concept. Right, and now I'm right. like, what did she do with like these two kids while she was like mm-hmm, working full time for, mm-hmm. I don't know, like when can kids like stay home for the summer by themselves?
You know, that's a good question. I think, I don't know, 12, 13, 14?
Yeah.
I don't know. Somewhere in there, I would say.
It's kind of crazy to think about leaving your 12-year-old home by themselves.
Maybe that's
all
wrong.
Summer.
I have no idea.
No, I mean, it sounds about right. I think that's probably
I also
right.
don't know. We just took the backs of the kids' booster seats down. Mm. And they're 8 and 7. So I'm pretty sure that could have been done a while ago. Yeah. We just kind of forgot.
I don't know.
That's another one of those that I'm always like, when is the rule on that? Like, I just don't know.
Yeah. I don't know either. But yeah, I mean, this will be an ongoing conversation mm-hmm. is
it just
summer
is,
camp signups, my friends.
It just is shocking to me that it's like you just have gotten through mm-hmm. and it feels like, you know, January 1st, mm-hmm. really? For things in August? Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. You know? Whew. Anyway.
Good luck
to you. For all of you, may the luck be with you.
Yeah.
On your side. May you find some camps and get your children some childcare and not lose your job.
That's right.
This summer. It also really does make you want to be a teacher, doesn't it? Sometimes.
You know, yes, for the time off. But then I think... Dear Lord in heaven, can you, like, River has 22 kindergartners in her class. Now, she has a teaching assistant, but, like, mm-hmm. that's, my 1 5-year-old is a lot mm-hmm. on a regular basis. How about 22 of them? Oof. 5 days a week.
Okay, I guess we'll keep our jobs.
Yeah, I guess.
And just pay for some. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, this first article is from CNBC. I'm a psychologist and mom. Here are 3 phrases I wish more parents would say to their kids. You know, I love these articles. It's mm-hmm. like, tell me exactly what mm-hmm. to do. The first one, I see you are angry and I understand why. I think this is great. Well, let me go through all of them and then we'll go back. Sorry. The second one, I care about how you feel and I will help you get through this. What can we do right now? The third one, how big is your anger right now? Mm-hmm. I love all of these. I think... anything, I really struggle when my kids are in the middle of a meltdown tantrum. It's just, it can be so difficult to reason with them and to talk with them and to make them see that whatever they're upset about is really not that big of a deal. But I love these questions and comments because I think that they really help us get on the same level as our kids and not... make their issues seem smaller. You know, I feel like you're always so tempted to be like, this isn't a big deal. Calm mm-hmm. down. This is silly, you know? And I love that these are targeted more at, this is a big deal for you. I understand that. I understand you're angry. How can we deal with this? And I just, I don't know, but I don't think those types of phrases and conversations were going on when we were kids. And I like this new push to really not necessarily say that behavior is okay, but just kind of say, okay, what is the source here and how can we fix it? The how big is your anger right now? I've never thought about, and I think that's a very great one. I don't know. I need to try this on my children and report back. But I think that that's a good way of just kind of letting them know that I see that you're angry. And like, is this a small thing? Is this a big thing? Like, where are we?
No, I like this. I mean, I think this goes back to what we talk about a lot on this podcast is not just your children. All humans in general want to feel validated.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if you say stuff like, yeah, I can see that you're angry. Like, I totally get it. I understand why. I like, hey, I want you to know I care about how you feel. And like, let's get through this together. I mean, these are good tips, not just mm-hmm. for your kids, but like for your spouse, mm-hmm. for your coworkers, for mm-hmm. your friends.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I like about this article is it talks about just like that our children cannot learn how to manage their anger unless they see us doing it first. Mm-hmm. So it's just a good reminder to like keep these in mind when you're angry, mm-hmm. right? Or when your spouse is angry that, you know, these are good things to say to other people and maybe your kid sees you modeling that. And also just to sort of like deal with your own anger as well, which obviously is like easier said than done, just right. like everything in life. But
mm-hmm.
yeah, I think there's a big push right now to help kids navigate their emotions as opposed to just like pushing stuff under the rug, because I feel like mm-hmm. research has shown that that makes for better adults is people mm-hmm. who are willing to pay attention to their own emotions and sort of manage their own emotions.
Yeah. And, you know, I think about there's this term that's used a lot now, deeply feeling children or a deeply feeling child. Mm-hmm. Have you heard that?
I have. They mention it in this article.
Yeah.
Especially deep feelers will mm-hmm. appreciate some of these. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I realize that I have a couple of deep feelers, and I also realize that I am a deep feeler.
Really?
Yes. Yes. I think so. I think so.
Really? That's real. Like, I never have thought of myself. Like,
right?
I've never tried to figure out if, like, me, myself is
well,
a deep
Well, it's funny
feeler.
Because I'm trying to help my deep feeling children and, you know, talking about these parenting articles and thinking about things and try to figure out how they can handle their big emotions mm-hmm. when they have them. Mm-hmm. And then I started thinking about it and was like, you know what? They get that from me. Mm-hmm. I'm a deeply feeling person,
mm-hmm.
not a child anymore, but
child, you can't say, yeah.
Yeah. And so I think that, and I actually said to one of my kids yesterday, I'm sorry, you get this from me,
mm-hmm.
but this is why I feel big things and I can be a little bit emotional and I'm not always great mm-hmm. at handling it, but I'm trying to. And one thing I don't do is pull your hair, so, you know, let's not do that. That's not the answer. No, but it was kind of eye-opening when I realized
yeah.
that I think that I'm a deeply feeling person. Of course, that wasn't a phrase when we were little.
No.
It would have never been, like, labeled or classified mm-hmm. as that. But it kind of, as so many things in parenting, I feel like when you have those sort of realizations, it helps you, hopefully, with your children,
right,
to deal with whatever they're going through. But
I like it. That's like a good revelation. Like I said, I never stopped to like consider.
Don't you think I am now that you think about it?
I don't know. Let me think about it a little bit more because I don't know. I got to think about it. Let me marinate on it and I'll get back to you. Yeah, it is kind of interesting. I definitely think River is a deeply feeling kid, and I do mm-hmm. think it can be tricky.
Yes.
Like sometimes her emotions are the opposite of what I anticipate. I know mm-hmm. we talk about like Dr. Becky, if you mm-hmm. are into like, I don't know, influencers or on social media, Dr. Becky is
parenting.
Parenting. Yeah. Yeah, she talks about deep feelers a lot. And sometimes the stuff that she'll like examples she'll give, I'm like, that's River mm-hmm. to a T. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'm surprised about River's like reaction to certain things. And then I'll see Dr. Becky say something and I'll think like, yeah, that was like spot on. And mm-hmm. I did not understand it at the time. So anyway.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana. It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Would you guys like some mums?
I would love mums.
Okay, this is our Mums the Word section. This is where we give some, like, I don't know, some products or some tips that might make your life a little bit easier. Karen always gives good parenting, like, products and tips and advice.
Mostly just, yeah, and things I always, I can keep my children busy with.
Right, and I always give, like, very superficial things things that, you know, you really don't need in your life, but you're going to want in your life. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this one is no exception, my friends.
I love yours, and I feel like usually, oftentimes I buy them, so.
Well, this is like, that's what makes us, like, good. We're like a yin and yang. Mm-hmm. Like, we're the, you know.
Here's what your kids need. Here's what you need.
Right, right, exactly. If you've been watching, listening to the podcast, you know that I stopped getting my nails done.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. How's that been going?
It's a very momentous.
Are you surviving? What's
momentous
happening?
Momentous occasion in my life. It's been about 6 months. I am surviving. I
love
am surviving.
That you know how long it's been. It's been 6 months since my nails were done.
Again, I mean, you know, I never wanted to shy away from self-care. You know how, like, some people, moms, like, especially on Instagram, again, are always like, I just feel like I need a little, like, self-care. I've just been bad about taking care of myself. I'm like, nope.
I'm nailing it there.
Not me.
Killing it. Get 3 massages a week. Yep, loving
not
it.
Not me. Anyway, these come from one of our mutual friends. I had seen her out. It's Allison, by the way. I had seen her out a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, what's happening with your nails? They look very good. And she was like, they're press-on nails. And I was like, what? Stop. They look so good. So they're Glamnetic. Glamnetic.com is the website.
Wait, but you don't have them on
well,
right
I don't
now.
Have them on right now. Okay. Because they're kind
can
of.
Can you take them on and off?
You know, they last about, I don't know, like I would say.
I have no knowledge of this
okay.
whole thing.
So they're basically the press-on nails of your grandmother. Okay. Remember how, yes, you yes. know, when you were like a kid, people used press-on nails? Same thing. Glue, whatever. But they come in really fun shades and shapes, like all the trendy colors and designs that you would want right now. And I would say the box says they last 2 to 3 weeks. I think probably a week at best without having to glue on another nail. To be honest, they like fall off. You got to glue them back on. So I think these are probably best for an event, a vacation. I don't think these are the type of thing that you're going to, you know, keep putting them on over and over again. Like, use one set, take them off, you know, put another set on. I think these are more of like,
if you have a fancy thing coming up and you want some fun nails, do this.
These are like occasion specific. So like I had them on before Christmas, but then I took them off the week of Christmas because we were like traveling and doing a whole bunch of stuff. And I like didn't want to have to worry about the upkeep of them or like what they were going to look like in like a week or so. So anyway, they're like, you know, they run less than $25. It just depends on, like, what design you want, which ones
where
you
do you
want.
Get them?
You can get them on Amazon, but you can also get them on Glamnetic.com is, you know, the company website, which I would recommend just because there's more of a selection. But I have to tell you, people, like, I wore them, and then people were like, oh, my gosh, I love your nails, you know? And I was like, oh, you know, I didn't tell them that they were press-on nails. But what I like about these two is that you, once you put them on, you can like file them and shape them and make them shorter. You can do whatever you want with them. And they were pretty good. They stayed on a pretty long time. Like I would say within a week, like one popped off. Mm-hmm. And this is a pro tip from our friend. I just kept some nail glue like in my purse and just like glued that sucker right back on. And this is what I love about it. It's cheap. It's so much cheaper than getting your nails done. And
I mean, is it? I feel like a manicure is like $30.
You have not gotten a manicure. I mean, this is like, I'm talking about like if you were to get like a dip nail or like a gel nail. Yes, okay. It's not $30.
The old fashioned manicure is $30.
I don't know, because it's been so long. I mean, I don't get about inflation. I don't know.
Well, all I know is the last time I got a pedicure.
It was $30. Yeah.
And I can't imagine a manicure would be more.
But anyway, this is cheaper. And I just feel like it takes less time. Like, that was one of the reasons.
You don't have to, like, make an appointment and go do it.
Cost aside, that was one of the reasons I stopped doing my nails, just because I got tired of having to sit at the nail salon for, like, an hour and a half, like, every 2 to 3 weeks. I just was done with it.
Now, talk to me about the taking off process.
Okay. So you soak them in warm water. And this is the other part. Thank you for mentioning this. Well, one of the things I like about them is they do not destroy your natural nails.
That was my question.
Yeah. Like, you know, when you're doing gel nails or like that dip, you know, you dip it in the powder, it like kills your natural nails. So it takes, and I know because I just did this, it takes like 3 months to get them back to normal. These, they pop right off, the glue comes right off, and like, you know, you're good to go. So.
Okay. I like it.
Okay. There you go. This our second article comes from the New York Post.
Yep.
And parenting children can extend your life. People with children live longer, study finds, but there's the caveat here, but only this many kids. So they did this study, a 2023 December study, and they found that people who have children, most notably broods of two, have a longer life expectancy than childless folks. Having two kids corresponds to the longest lifespan, in part noting that folks who became parents have a 5 to 10% longevity advantage over childless people.
So we neither of us win.
Correct. Having fewer, i.e. one, or more kids, i.e. Karen, four, lower your lifespan.
Well, darn.
Yeah.
Well.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, well.
Yeah.
You know, it was shocking to me that it said it can extend your life to 76.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what is the average? The average is 72. That seems
for women?
Young to me. For that's what they are, just in general. The average life expectancy right now is 72. And according to this article, if you have two kids, it would extend it to 76. But I was expecting to live to like 90 something.
Really?
Yeah. Doesn't 72 or 76 seem young?
Yeah. 72 seems young. 76. Yeah. Okay. 90? Like you are expecting, you think that you will live until you're 90.
Well, I don't know, but obviously, but I would like to live a long. I don't know. I guess 76 made me think, oh, well, wait a minute. That's only 35 more years. Mm-hmm. Surely I got more than that left in the tank, right? That makes me sad thinking that that's not that much longer.
I would be perfectly happy living till 76. That would be, that sounds good. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I think. Listen, I'd be perfectly happy like living till 42 at this point. I think 76 seems like, you know, you still maybe get around. I mean, by the time you're 90, unless you're like the exception to the rule, like, ooh, things are getting a little
rough.
Tough. Yeah. I think. I don't know. I mean,
I guess I need to start stretching too, huh?
I would
want to live
maybe
90.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
The interesting thing about this article is it says two kids equals the longest lifespan because the balance is good between the amount of social interactions, but not too much economic or physical burden.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was kind of noteworthy. Like, that's why two is the magic number, because you got some kids, but you don't have too many kids. But, you know, it's because the whole time I'm reading this, I'm like, why two? Why that number?
Right.
But you don't have so many kids that you're poor.
So it's like, yes, previous studies found that people with children tend to have, and this just says children, doesn't specify number, to have more social interactions, such as interactions with other parents and teachers and higher social contact, you know, and social interaction is linked to a longer life.
Mm-hmm.
And a 2017 report discovered that kids aid in keeping their moms and dads' minds active in old age, adding a whopping 2 years to your life. So. And I think these are separate from the 2023 study talking about the two kids is like the magic number. So I still think there is some advantage about this. It's interesting this article, if you're interested in this, also talks about just like the genetics of people yes. who are able to have four kids versus no kids or just one kid, and the benefits or the drawbacks of what that means for your future health. Like what mm-hmm. if you have like a gene that, you know, a good reproductive gene, what that could signal about your health in the future, which I was like, this, now we're really in the weeds, but it is really interesting. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. Mm. It's interesting.
So the last article today is from the Washington Post, the 5 absolute truths I've learned in 10 years as a parenting editor. I like this. This is a woman who spent 28 years at the Washington Post. She did a parenting column, and that was always her favorite. And she said, she kind of walks through the things that she thought were her biggest takeaways, both from, you know, she's, of course, interviewed and done research and talked to hundreds, maybe thousands of people during that time about parenting. So these are kind of the top things that she took away from all that, plus her own parenting journey. But before I get into those 5 things, she said one thing she wanted to point out: we will never understand it all, nor will we ever do it right. Not even close. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was kind of a good reminder that no matter how many articles we read or things we think we know or, you know, options we try, different perspectives, all the things, we could do all the things and it's still never going to be perfect. Right. So the 5 big takeaways she learned: boundaries are good and your influence matters. Kindness and empathy are learned. Let them, kids, learn for themselves. It goes too fast. And helicopter parenting is real and detrimental. Mm-hmm. Which one of those were your favorite?
I liked the boundaries are good and your influence matters. Just because I sometimes have to remind myself, like, if you're parenting a 5-year-old, you know, who asks mm-hmm. for everything all the time, that, like, and River will actually say to me, "You never say yes." And I sometimes feel, and I'm kind of a pushover anyway, so she's a liar because that's not true. But I sometimes, like, have to remember that kids really do want boundaries and structure. Mm-hmm. I've always been a stickler about, like, bedtime, that kind of stuff, because I really do think kids thrive mm-hmm. on that. So, like, I'm 100% of a believer in that. But let them learn for themselves. I think it's incredibly hard, but probably very mm-hmm. difficult. Mm-hmm. And I do think helicopter parenting is very real. And I also think it is very hard not to intervene mm-hmm. in both, like, physical, tangible ways, like tying your kid's shoe and, like, putting their seatbelt, mm-hmm. you know, putting their seatbelt on when they're, like, old enough to put their mm-hmm. seatbelt on. Mm-hmm. But also just in, like, social settings, school mm-hmm. settings, schoolwork settings. I find that really challenging. And I think it's, like, good to see this laid out here that, yeah.
Yeah.
You need to. You don't need to intervene.
Right, right,
yes.
Right. I liked the kindness and empathy are learned. Mm-hmm. It said that, you know, so many of us are more concerned with achievements rather than caring for others. And I think that's
true. I think
totally
that's true.
Yes. And I think, you know, unfortunately, it's just kind of like the nature of it, right? I think in general, it's always been, but I think maybe even more so right now in the age that we live, you know, you bring home a report card, you, did you score a goal in soccer? You know, there's just so many things that we do or that our kids do that it's just easier almost to focus on those measures and, you know, celebrate those when really that's not what matters. Mm-hmm. So this for me was a good reminder that, you know, those things not only are important, but like this says, are learned. We need to teach them that those are the things that matter. So yeah, I thought there were some really good tips. It's always nice to hear from somebody who, as a journalist, you know, I want to hear from another journalist who's like, okay, I've done all the research, I've talked to all the people, here's my takeaway, you know, because I feel like I trust somebody who for 28 years, this is what they've been mm-hmm. doing. Because I feel like when I'm working on a big story or something, like, you know, you gather all of the facts and all of the information, and then you can just make a really informed decision, I think, based on that work. So anyway, I thought there were some good tips.
Yeah, this is a good article. And I do think it goes too fast. And I do feel like that is one thing that I know and recognize. And it makes me sad. It makes me sad.
Yeah, it does go really fast. So I have a win.
Okay.
Couple of weeks ago now, we gave our children a trampoline for Christmas.
Oh, I keep meaning to ask you about this because I am very excited for your children.
Yeah, we'll have to have a trampoline date.
Yes.
So the here's the reason it's a win. Now, when they get home from school, I can say, go out on the trampoline, and they go out there. This is only the three big kids. Sam's still at preschool at this point. But they spend a lot of time out there. They spend a lot of energy out there. They're outside. They're playing together. Now, are they sometimes, I don't know, bouncing on each other, tackling each other, hitting each other? Yes. Is that good? Probably not. It is so nice that I think it does give them that outlet. And it's wonderful to be able to get whatever I need to get done. They love it. It has been a huge, huge hit in our house. Now, I will say there is, you know, now all of them come with a net, so you can't fall out.
I know. I had a trampoline as a kid. No net.
You did? Oh, yeah.
Wild.
Yeah.
What?
I know.
Well, I remember kids would, like, bounce off and hit trees.
Somehow.
They would, like, they'd be, like, thrown 30 feet away from the trampoline. You'd be like, you all right? Okay, good. Come on back home.
Break a bone? No.
Yeah.
Come on back.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because somehow that came up, and Henry was like, wait, they didn't have them? And then, so now he's always like, back in the 80s when there was no nets on trampolines and life was great, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, he's like, can we take this one down sometimes?
Like, no.
I'm like, no.
Yeah.
It's amazing we're alive, buddy. Yeah, it's been a huge hit. And I, you know, and of course this is in the winter when it's cold. Like yesterday they were jumping on there with hats and jackets. And I'm like, oh my gosh, how are you? They're putting like three pairs of socks on because it's cold out there. So I'm, I can only imagine how much better it will be when the weather is warmer and, you know, we'll be able to sit out there and enjoy it. But if you're debating it, I say trampoline is a win because the kids so far are loving it.
Okay. I listen, River loves a trampoline. Like when we go to friends' houses and they have a trampoline, she's like all over it.
Well, we haven't really had many people over yet because it's been so cold, but we will definitely have to have River
just let us know. Just give us the word and we'll be there. I might just, can I just drop, is it okay if I just drop River off?
I mean, you can come by any time and just come in our, like we come home from an event and Katie's like we're just like out there on the trampoline. Hey! We grabbed a beer and River's jumping on the trampoline. Yeah. How are you guys?
Yeah. That's funny.
All right. We hope you have a great week, folks.
Bye, guys.
Anchor Moms. The podcast.
Thanks for listening.